Captain America throws his mighty shield. All those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Hard time, sad boy.
You're coming in a little crackly, so I don't know if there's anything that can fix that a little bit, but I mean, we'll work with it.
Okay. We're up in the mountains, so I wasn't sure if this is really crackly or how bad.
Just a little bit. I mean, it seems a little unstable. Corey, are you hearing that? Or?
Yeah, it's a little bit in and out.
Yeah, it's a little in and out. I mean, we'll work with it. We'll see if, you know, if it all falls apart, then fuck it. We'll see.
No Captain America for anybody.
No Captain America for you. All right, so let's just get this thing started. And if Ian shows up, he shows up. If not, he doesn't. But all right, either way, we'll work with what we got. No big deal. So this is Part-Time Fanboy. I am Christian Horn. I'm here with Don Lund, who has not been with us for a long time, and Corey Blake. We're here to chat about Captain America, since there is a big movie coming out in about 2 weeks, or like what, a week and a half at this point?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Yeah, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. So we've never really had a big discussion about the good Captain. On our podcast, we've kind of chatted about patriotic heroes last 4th of July, and we've talked about the Avengers movie, but we've never talked about just Captain America in general. So who would like to get started with their thoughts about the great Captain America, a.k.a. Steve Rogers?
Everyone's favorite man out of time.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about like how big of fans we are. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of Captain America. I mean, I'm not like, I can't say that I've collected him regularly, like throughout the ages, but I know that he was always a book that it was always a comic that I would go back to like every once in a while. Like I would pick up and like go stay with a run for a while, and then maybe a creative team would change here and there, and then I would drop it. And then as soon as I saw something else that was like happening in the book, I would pick it up again, you know? So maybe a fair weather Cap fan, but I'm a big enough fan that I actually have a replica of the shield hanging in my office. So
that's pretty big.
Yeah. I'm a pretty big fan. I mean, I just like what he represents. For some reason, I always like the Supermans and the Captain Americas and the Cyclopses, you know, the sort of like leaders of the group, you know, the guys that have to bear the responsibility. What about you guys?
I am probably lesser of a fan than you are, Christian. I'm probably the naysayer of the group. I don't dislike the character, but I think until recently, I kind of felt he was a little, I guess, simplistic or a little bit, heavy on the patriotism and flag waving. But to be fair, I had read very little of the character. Like, most of my exposure has been either through the Avengers or just, like, guest appearances in other books. So I can't say that that is a fair assessment. But I had read a good portion of the beginning of Ed Brubaker's run, Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed that. And I thought that added kind of a neat sort of espionage thriller sort of tone to it. And kind of, I didn't get that kind of feeling of like, yes, America's awesome, I get it, you know. Kind of
thing. Oh, geez. That's so funny. What about you, Don? I mean, I think I know how you feel. But why don't you let the listeners know how big a fan you are?
Well, I've been, reading him since the 70s. I guess I found Cap through the Avengers. I was a Thor fan, obviously, Cap and the Avengers. That one of those first really glorious moments, I think it was around 79, where Cap stood up to Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet, the last man standing kind of a deal, after Thanos wiped out everybody. Here's just a guy with a shield, you know, taking on Thanos. So, yeah, he was always that quality, that he was always kind of in the world, even with his super soldier serum. The villains that he faces generally outclass him, smarter, and he cares more. He kind of works because he cares more. That's kind of an interesting aspect to the character.
Yeah. So you wouldn't say you were as big a fan of Cap's as you were of, like, Thor, because you're our Thor expert, and you're the man we go to when we need to talk about Thor. So, like, you're not as huge as him, but have you regularly collected Cap? Like, just stayed with him? Or are you like me, where you would jump in and out?
Well, yeah, the stronger runs, but I probably have, you know, I would say, well, Cap is one of the big three, right? For the Avengers, it's Iron Man, it's Cap, it's Thor, and they call him the big three for a reason. So, yeah, I'd say pretty, there were times I would stop. There were times, you know, when things got a little hokey or a little bit weird, but I don't mind, you know, I guess, serving in the U.S. Marine Corps for 6 years. I didn't mind so much as some of his jingoistic aspirations. I didn't like when writers were using as a political tool or for president. You know, some people thought that was kind of cool, but, you know, I do like some of the, when he represents the better parts, I guess, of the country.
Sure. Hold on. I got Ian. Ian is trying to call in. I'm going to try and have him join up. Oh, here we go. Invite to group call. All right. Hopefully he will answer.
Hey, guys.
Ian, there he is.
Oh, man. Sorry, I'm 10 minutes late here.
You bastard. How could you?
Yeah. How could I?
Well, okay. So we got Ian on the line. Don and Corey, we were all just discussing our feelings of the Captain America character, like, just in general, like whether we collected him through the years, what we thought about him. What are some of your thoughts, Ian?
Well, it's just, he's an interesting guy, because I was really into Hulk and Batman, but when I started collecting, I remember one of the first comics I ever bought was a Captain America comic when he turns into the werewolf.
He turned into a werewolf?
Yeah, I think he was fighting. It was Werewolf by Night. Was guest starring. And I'm like, all right, this looks like it could be good, because there's a werewolf and there's Captain America. He's kind of undeniably cool, but at the same time, he's like, you know, he's a walking American flag, right? So I've always loved the character. I've never collected him, though, hardcore. I've just always had an appreciation for him, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at Captain America 405, the cover, and it's Cap Wolf. And he's, like, holding up the shield, and his head is in shadow, like, behind the shield, and his head is in the shape of a wolf. So I'm assuming these are the issues that you're talking about.
Yeah, I got like it was either the end of that arc or the very beginning. And it was the werewolf and Captain America on the cover at the same time. It wasn't even a good cover. It wasn't, you know, it was just like, because I always find those covers that have like a lot of characters on them. It just seemed thrown together, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was only collecting like Aquaman were the only other comics I had at that time.
Gotcha.
And, you know, Captain America next to Aquaman was, like, a lot more exciting, you know?
You were actually collecting Aquaman?
Like, yeah, the first books I had were just these random comics, you know? And
gotcha.
It was Aquaman, it was, like, Captain America. Then I started getting into, like, Batman and Hulk, like, hardcore, and finally, you know, found a shop where I was like, oh, I could... You mean you'll put these in bags every couple of weeks for me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, God, you know, that's why I guess I wanted to jump on this podcast when you threw it out, because it's like Captain America is really sort of responsible for me, you know, my beginnings as like, you know, a novice collector, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, I think the way I discovered Captain America was in one of those Origins or Son of Origins trades. Do you remember those? Like they used to have a couple of those at the local Jersey library that I used to go to. And I remember picking up that story and, you know, seeing the original sort of like reprint of the 30s, you know, origin, you know, Captain America. I believe it's Captain America #1, you know, where he's punching Hitler out. on the cover, you know, and I just remember reading it and thinking, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I guess I'd never, like, he was enhanced, but he was sort of like a regular guy, and he was weak. He was sort of, he wasn't a strong guy, but he had passion for, you know, his country, and he wanted to get in the war. And I think when we were all younger, right, like, World War II was still like a big sort of thing that like loomed. I mean, I think it always will be, but to us, it was like we were like, what, like two generations removed from that. So it still kind of loomed, you know, you would still see World War II movies or whatever. It's just interesting that to me, I don't think like his origin rang as I identified with it as much as like, say, like Spider-Man or Superman. But there was something about his authority and like what he stood for that I really dug. You know what I mean? Don, do you remember when you first encountered him? Like what your first encounter with the character was?
The very first time I read Cap was in Avengers, I think. And anybody remember the shooter storyline with Michael that came in, took like a year, and he became Korvac? Korvac. Well, he renamed it. It was Korvac, the Korvac saga. He renamed himself Michael. And it was one of the first really long story arcs in the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Shooter wrote it. And, so that was kind of when I really started following Cap on a regular basis in between the Burn Run, Englehart, Brubaker, obviously by far and away kind of the world champ, I think, as far as Cap writers go. Avengers is where I started, and then I had the Cap Falcon runs when Kirby came back to Captain America. A lot of great, cool covers there that he did.
I think that most of my exposure to Cap in the early years was probably through the Avengers. It was like picking up the Avengers books and kind of seeing him as like the leader of the group. And I think, Corey, a lot like you, in the beginnings, I think he seemed a little bit of a stiff to me. You know what I mean? Like a little bit maybe too righteous or a little bit too authoritarian. You know what I mean? But I think at some point during like the 80s, I can't remember, I definitely was like, I really like this character. I like that. What I really liked about him is that in the Marvel Universe, it seemed like even though there were people who were stronger than him or more powerful, they all kind of like had respect for him. Like one of the things that I always loved was that Thor was always like, you are a true warrior, sir, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like Thor gave him, even though Thor could probably flatten him like a pancake if he wanted to, like he just gave him his props, you know what I mean? Because he knew that this guy was a fighter like him, you know?
Yeah, when you're talking about his origin, it reminded me that I think one of the earliest experiences I had with the character that I'd forgotten was the old 60s cartoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At least I think that was probably my first exposure to his origin story anyway. And so it was rerunning somewhere, who knows where, and I must have caught it. And it's interesting because, you know, unlike most of the Marvel Universe from the 60s, his origin was not by Stan Lee and, you know, Jack Kirby or Steve Ditko or somebody, one of the others. He obviously came from the late 30s and 40s. And so Joe Simon and Jack Kirby created this character. Yeah, and so the origin's kind of not like, you know, the Marvel, you know, the sort of Marvel formula that we're familiar with, like you were saying about like Spider-Man, but it is kind of an interesting origin, which I think the first Captain America movie kind of reminded me of, that there is kind of a really interesting angle with it that doesn't always get latched onto a lot, but I thought the movie kind of did a good job of, which is that he really was like this, you know, beat upon kid. I mean, sort of like how Peter Parker was kind of the geek that everybody made fun of. Captain America was originally, Steve Rogers was originally, you know, this little weakling who couldn't even pass the physical test to get into the army, never mind get into this super soldier project or program.
Yeah.
And so that really does kind of create like an underdog perspective for him.
Yeah.
That I think maybe got forgotten along the way somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's definitely an aspect to his origin that doesn't get explored enough, which is, you know, and like you said, the movie nailed it perfectly, where that, you know, inside this perfect man or this perfect specimen, because I sort of remember him always being described as, he didn't have like superpowers per se. He wasn't like, you know, he couldn't like bend steel bars with his bare hands, but what he was like the pinnacle of like human perfection. He was right. The absolute best that you could get, like as far as like a regular person could get, like beyond an Olympic athlete. But inside there was a kid who got picked on, you know, a boy who was poor growing up, like in Depression era New York City, you know. And I think in even one iteration, maybe it might have been the Roger Stern, John Byrne era, you know, where they even said that he had polio at one point, you know, he had been a polio victim. So there were all these like little things that sort of helped form the character. He's not just some like, you know, jock, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who just like works out a lot and goes and kicks ass. You know what I'm saying? So that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I definitely have to say that, you know, that during the Roger Stern run, I think Don, you might've mentioned that a little bit earlier, which is when I think it was one of the first times I started collecting him, but it was sort of, I was collecting back issues because I was such a big John Byrne fan. And they did like an anniversary issue where they retold the origin a little bit, and they kind of went back to sort of the triangle shield, you know, and they kind of described like why he got the circular shield. And yeah, I mean, there were some really kind of touching moments in that, you know. And I mean, he doesn't do, I guess that's one of the things why I like the movie and why I sort of like the character. He doesn't do what he does because of guilt or because he's tortured. You know, he's a lot like Superman, where he's like, I'm trying to do the right thing by my country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are some of the runs that maybe you guys may have collected? I mean, Don, I think you might have read him the most. I know that there was some controversy in the emails going back and forth about the Mark Gruenwald era, like in the 80s with the Super Patriot introduction and all that stuff. Don, what is it that you don't like about that? Because I know that Ian and I, we, for anybody who doesn't know, Captain America, there have been some points where he's either been, I wouldn't say like hounded by the government. Yeah. Or he's been asked by the government to give up the identity, or he's given it up in disgust, or he's been betrayed in some way. And I mean, the first time was in the 70s, right? I think it was during the what era was this? The Steve Englehart era, where basically, you know, you had Watergate was going on, and there was a lot of like sort of people were getting pissed off with the government and starting to see how like dirty politicians worked. And I think there was an era there where he might have kind of given up the costume in disgust, but the era where I really got sucked into Captain America was when we heard, I mean, we were young, so I didn't know about the Englehart era at the time, where that he was forced by the government into giving up the shield, right?
Well, the U.S. agent era, it's the shooter era where Marvel was actually worried about at the time losing some of their copyright holds on characters. If you notice, War Machine, U.S. Agent, what I call the doppelganger era. And so it's more part of that whole backup plan that Marvel was formulating by giving us characters that looked and sounded like Iron Man and Captain America. You know, it was Thor 2, the, you know, Eric Masterson era stuff, that they had all these backups in case, you know, they were going to lose the copyrights on the main characters. So at heart, U.S. Agent's kind of an interesting story because he had to step up to replace Cap, and finding out how tough that is to be Cap, but in examining Cap from a different angle with somebody else having to have that lead role. But yeah, just overall was that Jim Shooter backup plan doppelganger era that, so it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like much about U.S. Agent .
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard this like doppelganger thing. I never heard that they were developing, because now that you mentioned it, yeah, there were a lot of like characters that were popping up, like you said, Eric Masterson, War Machine in that era, that were like, I guess, yeah, could have been used as replacements. So they were trying, the copyrights they were thinking were going to run out or something?
Well, they were having some problems. I mean, at that time, if you recall, like, you know, Kirby had kind of come back and talked to Marvel, and Joe Simon, I think, at least twice sued for Cap. So for rights back to Captain America, and had to settle a couple different occasions. But yeah, they were always kind of fighting those lawsuits and origin stuff. So that was kind of an interesting time for Shooter to. It was kind of a creative idea, but and creative how each of these other guys, you know, would fill in. But yeah. So yeah, that's what U.S. Agent's never been, you know, top of the list.
I understand how you feel about U.S. Agent because I thought the character was
U.S. Agent.
I love
his outfit. Like I saw him first in the Marvel Universe. Who's Who in the Marvel Universe? When they started doing. Yeah, I thought those were the coolest things because it's like, look at all these characters I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And look at all their crazy costumes, and there just seemed to be so much potential there.
Yeah.
And then you read the article on U.S. Agent, and it's like, U.S. Agent killed people.
And
like, U.S. Agent strapped some dude to like an oil thing and blew it up, and I'm just like, wow. I'm like, that's awesome.
Well,
it's not, I mean, it's not, but it, you know, the fact that that was Captain America, like this scrub took over for Captain America is great.
It was a story like in the 80s again, where it's Mark Gruenwald, and I think Kieran Dwyer did a lot of the artwork. And I think that's kind of when I got very much sucked in. And it was one of those instances where very much like sort of the death of Superman, where I was kind of a fan that wasn't paying attention, and you know, the cover that I'm looking at online is like Captain America no more, and it's like basically the U.S. government comes to him and they're like, well, we created you, we gave you the costume, we gave you the shield, you have to do what we want you to do, you know, you have to go on missions that we want you to go on. And so Captain America's like, well, you know what, he thinks about it, and he thinks about like what he really means. And that's the thing, is that a lot of people, or what he symbolizes, a lot of people think like, well, he's Captain America, he's a soldier, he should just do whatever, you know, the U.S. military wants him to do. But he doesn't believe in that. There have been so many stories throughout the ages where it's like, no, I'm bigger than what the current administration or what the government wants me to do. I symbolize what America should aspire to. So he was like, F that, here's the shield, here's the costume back, and he became just the captain and donned a black costume. In the meantime, I think, Don, what were they? Were they like wrestlers? Were they like super, there was like a super-powered wrestling league or something, right?
Well, I may have blanked that out. Shield and given up my costume at the time and walked away because it was a crazy era where, I mean, what, just shortly thereafter we had, you know, NFL Super Pro comics and
But anyway, they find another guy who's kind of like super enhanced because there's some kind of like World Wrestling Federation that uses people with superpowers, and they ask him if he wants to be Captain America, and he's like, hell yeah, I want to be Captain America, and they give him the shield, and then he gets signed up with an African-American Bucky, and that set the fans off into a frenzy, like because they were like, Bucky, what are you kidding me? Like, you're going to call like a black character Bucky? So that pissed off a lot of people. So they made him Battlestar. And long story short, basically, it ended up being a story about how big the shoes are to fill, because what ends up happening is this guy, John Walker, his family gets murdered, and he just goes apeshit and becomes like a killer Captain America, sort of like Captain America meets the Punisher. And in the end, as always, it ends up being this big plot that the Red Skull had contrived, and you know, Captain America ends up getting the costume back down the road. But sorry to spoil it for anyone out there.
Yeah, I just ordered that trade.
Did
today.
You? Yeah,
you know,
that's, yeah.
It's fine, though. I ordered, you know, finally ordered a Winter Soldier. I went to online trades or in-stock trades. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Picked up the Captain book.
But it definitely seems to be a recurring theme that Steve Rogers, you know, I mean, again, during the Roger Stern and John Byrne era, they ask him to run for president. right? Have you guys ever read any of these, like the Captain America for President issues?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a brilliant issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fantastic issue. They ask him to run for president, and that's sort of, I think, one of the first times where I was exposed to, you know, he shows up at the national convention at the end, and he makes this great speech about, you know, Captain America is more than just, you know, fighting battles, and, you know, Captain America can't join a political party. Captain America can't run for president. It's a bigger idea. You know, I represent what America is supposed to achieve, and political parties and all that, they mess things up all the time. So I can't run for president. So I thought that was a really fantastic writing job by Roger Stern. And it was a really well drawn issue by John Byrne. Were there any runs that anybody like has been exposed to and like that stood out to them at all? Like,
I just want to say real quick, because I'm looking at this Captain America No More cover, which is a really, really striking, really eye-catching cover with the, you know, the American flag in the background with the red stripes turning into blood and kind of, you know, going flowing down the floor and all that stuff. And it's really like, you know, it's pretty dramatic. It's really good. And then you look at the top left corner, and there's Abraham Lincoln, like right from the dollar bill, with a tear running down his cheek.
Come on. They were yanking on your patriotic, you know, heartstrings. They needed to do that.
And I like how it has Lincoln. Like, you can just make out he actually said Lincoln, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, in case you didn't know that was Lincoln. Yeah, they spelled out Lincoln. I mean, Don, if you didn't like that run, which runs did you like when you were reading the character?
Well, I mean, I did like the Stern Byrne. It was only 9 issues, but 9 glorious issues. John Byrne drawing Captain America. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, still one of the best artists to ever draw Cap, I think, is Byrne. But, you know, Winter Soldier, we're getting ready to talk about the movie. The Baker run was just head and shoulders above anything else. And one of the jokes we always talk about Marvel was one of the characters that was always, they got to stay dead was Bucky, unless he's being brought back as, you know, somebody else getting his nickname. But Bucky being brought back and he didn't really die and gets to be the Russian spy, just a fantastic angle, a great way to bring back a character that, you know, never really died. And Brubaker defined the character. Now, Stern was also a fantastic Cap writer. Stern had a fantastic Avengers run with Cap in there. Anybody remember the story called The Siege, where the bad guys took over Avengers Mansion?
Oh, yeah. We talked about that on a previous episode, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, the Siege, I think maybe also we touched on it on the best, our favorite stories. But, yeah, Cap had saved just a few things from his World War II era life, and those items got destroyed in the siege. And just to see, you know, how devastating that was to him personally, this last little mementos from where he was actually from, that and his own time, and how alone he is in this era. So, Mark Waid did a great job. I kind of joked about that at the beginning. The Man Out of Time, that's a Mark Waid series where he kind of looked back at the origins of Cap. Fantastic. If people just want to get a sense for who Cap is, that Mark Waid, Man Out of Time. Trade paperback is pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been wanting to pick that up too, because that was sort of he also did Operation Rebirth, which was sort of like them kind of floundering a bit, you know, after they did the sort of a reboot of the Marvel Universe with Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld, and I forget who else was involved in that horrible travesty of some of the original Image creators taking over like a lot of the Marvel books. But I think there's a Mark Waid, Ron Garney run called Captain America Operation Rebirth. And I think that has to deal with the super soldier kind of dying out on him, right?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah. he did address it. Waid's got to write Cap 2 or 3 times. I would say Roger Stern, Mark Waid, Steve, and Ed Brubaker all had Steve Rogers, probably the best of any of the any writers of the Cap series. Now, I mean, some of the early stuff is kind of fun. Since you said you got to see Captain America comics number one, or see a reprint of it where Captain America is knocking out Hitler. You know, I mean, that stuff is strange, but still kind of kind of fun. The Golden Age stuff where, you know, killing bad guys was part of the ritual, but it's
Yeah. There's also an era like right out of right after 9/11. Like there was some real identity crisis going on with Captain America because, you know, with the World Trade Center and the attack on the Pentagon, and we were all still kind of reeling, and it seemed like Marvel was like, well, is Captain America going to go kick some terrorist ass? Are we going to do like what we did in World War II? And there's a trade, and I actually used to have these issues. I'm not sure if I still have them somewhere, that this was a run that happened sort of like almost right after 9/11, written by John Nay Reber and illustrated by John Cassaday. And I just remember it being a little bit schizophrenic. I remember reading it and being like, what are they trying to do here? Because it seemed like, you know, he was, obviously they had this patriotic hero in Cap, but at the same time, you know, they were trying to be like, well, you know, I think people were starting to realize that this attack was blowback from like whatever American policies in the Middle East. So they were trying to have Cap sort of play both sides. You know what I mean? And then I think they had a bunch of terrorists take over like a small town, like in the Midwest. And, you know, Cap had to go kick some terrorist ass. But it was like a really weird era. And I remember seeing like letters in the letter pages or people showing up like online. I think this is sort of like, you know, the beginnings of the internet, or the internet was kind of like starting to boom around that time, and people just being like really pissed off, like, dude, this is Captain America, we need him to be solid. And then other people being like, oh, this is really great that you're taking this approach, but I don't think it went very far. Like, I don't think it's a very well regarded run, but if you're interested in checking out something that like that happened during a major event in our history and seeing how Marvel tried to play that out, then it might be an interesting run for people to look into, because and the John Cassaday art is worth, you know, the price of admission alone. You know what I'm saying? But that might be a run. I don't know. Have any of you ever read that or remember when that came out?
I remember that coming out, and I remember the sort of the flack that Marvel was getting from some readers that it was too much hand wringing and too much, you know, too political, and just, you know, I mean, a lot of what you're saying is right as far as the flack it was getting. And it was sort of a sister title. It wasn't the main Captain America series. It was like I don't remember what the subtitle was, but it was like Captain America : something, something.
Yeah. Well, it's Captain America, the New Deal, but I think it might have been like one of the several, because there have been a lot of relaunches, right? During his run.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
And
yeah.
I think that they were starting like it up again, or yeah, it says here collecting Captain America 2002 number 1 through 6. Like,
oh, okay,
that was the Layfield stuff, right? Where he came back to do all those covers.
No, yeah. this is the New Deal. The Layfield stuff was something else that was called it's like
Heroes Reborn.
Jeez. Which was garbage. I mean,
that image, that Liefeld image of Captain America with like this huge chest,
yeah,
is still
yeah,
huge.
Tits. Yeah, like, yes. Boobies.
Straight
up boobies.
That's on Captain America.
It's still like pops up in internet disc battles.
Yeah. I mean, oh, it's just, and I remember, I think buying that first issue because I was really into, I really liked Captain America, and I was sort of curious to see what they would do, and just being like, oh my God, this is feces. I can't hang with this. Like, it's just horrible. I mean, there's just no two ways of saying it. Like if you were going to look into some of the worst runs of Captain America, that would probably be one of them. It's just a travesty. But yeah,
and he got a lot of flack for changing the cowl. Like, he changed the A to like an eagle or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There have been a lot of interesting stories. It seems like right now, or like at least in the past couple of years, he's been stuck in like another dimension or something. Like Rick Remender. like stuck him in like an alternate universe or something like that. Has anyone been reading them recently? Don, have you been reading them? Captain America?
I thought it started off kind of interesting, but yeah, being trapped in a different reality, it was okay. But I'm not currently reading it.
Yeah, it seems like Remender just went like in a completely opposite direction from what Brubaker was doing, you know, because Brubaker was on it for a long time, right?
At least, 5 or 6 years, maybe 8 years.
Yeah, because I remember I was regularly reading Brubaker's run, and then Civil War happened. I was really into Captain America. Like, again, I was like, wow, this is an awesome run. Look at how great this is. I remember one thing during the Brubaker run was showing him fighting with the French Resistance in World War II. And it was sort of around that time that, like, Freedom Fries and all that BS, like, the French aren't, screw the French. And, you know, here was an issue of Captain America showing, like, hey, no, the French have actually, you know, kind of helped us out through the, you know, it's not just us. And, but then they, you know, spoilers for anyone listening, the Brubaker run, they shot Captain America and they killed him. And I just remember being disgusted by that and dropping the book immediately, just being like, I'm disgusted. How dare they, you know, especially at a time where I was like, we need a Captain America. God damn it. You know, and I was just so pissed. And it went along with Civil War, which was the thing that made me drop regular Marvel books back in the day. And then I think it was Identity Crisis or something that made me drop DC books at the time.
Jeez,
where I was like, oh, it happened. It was like within a year where I was like, I'm done with you. I hate you all. Like, I was just like, it was just like these events just like tired me out. But I actually started reading the Death of Captain America omnibus, which was picking up from where that issue left off, where Cap got shot. And let me tell you, Brubaker, like, even though Cap was dead, those books are impressive. Like, I was just like, holy cow, this is some good reading. And I'm in the middle of it. Mm. So I think that, you know, Brubaker, I think, is probably the one to aspire to. Would any of you guys agree or disagree with that?
I think wholeheartedly he is, because there's a guy at work who's a diehard Captain America fan. I mean, when I say diehard, I mean anything Captain America related, he just knows about it. And he fell in love with Brubaker. He almost on a weekly basis, he will remind me how much he loved the Brubaker run on Captain America. And because he loved the whole, there was a whole arc where, you know, it was like very espionage oriented, and it was like almost Captain America as like a, you know, Born Identity type stuff, where he was more of just an agent, right? I don't know, for some reason that really struck a chord with him. And this guy's, I guess he's a little older than us, but he has the whole run of Captain America.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because I was really starting to challenge him, because I'm like, hey, which of these, you know, Winter Soldier books should I buy? Because, you know, there's several trades out there as a hardcover, but he's like, you got the right one. But I'm like, so do you have this? He's like, I have the whole run. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Because I sent him the link you sent, Christian, with all the, you know, different artists. I go, where is it? And he just has it in storage because he lives, you know, with his family in an apartment. But I was like, man, that's pretty impressive. Like, so, but he tips the hat to Brubaker. So I don't, for whatever that's worth, you know.
Does he have the Golden Age stuff too?
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to follow up, because when he said whole run, I was like, he was talking about that earlier, like, because when I mentioned Kirby, I said, man, that Kirby artwork is just amazing. And he's like, yeah, I have all those. I'm like, what?
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So here's the deal, though, guys. He's been saying how the, you know, Los Angeles storage is a lot. He's got two units, and one unit is all comics, and storage is a lot in L.A. So he's actually thinking of driving it out of state. So once I find out where he's going, we could just hijack his
head. We could pull a Breaking Bad and go in and like take them all.
Exactly.
That's not very Captain America of you, Ian.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's more US agent.
It's US agent of me, yeah.
Yeah, that's very US agent. It's funny. I mean, while we're, I mean, talking about like the full runs, there's this one miniseries that it's, you know, when I was doing some research online over the weekend, And, you know, today, it seems like nobody mentions it, but what's this guy's name? Fabia
Nicieza. Yes.
Nicieza? Yeah. Nicieza and Kevin Maguire did something during the 90s called The Adventures of Captain America, Sentinel of Liberty. And it was kind of like a four-issue, like, prestige format, and it kind of retold his origin again, and, like, his first adventure against the Red Skull, and it's pretty good reading. It looks like you can find them used on Amazon for pretty cheap. I may order them, but because it's been a long time since I read those. But if anyone is looking for something that, like, retells the origin really well, that's something to track down. The Adventures of Captain, like, how, you know, how he gets the super soldier serum, how he gets the round shield, how he meets Bucky, how, you know, the Red Skull rises to power and stuff. And I think this was like Maguire's first art, like, sort of outside of DC for the first time. So it was kind of a big deal at the time. Yeah, I mean, what's that?
I was going to say, also people want to get like a good, you know, old Cap issue that retells the origin. Captain America 109, I believe, is by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, redoing, you know, kind of the Simon Kirby introduction, and obviously Jack Kirby art. But there's a chance if you're looking for a cool old back issue.
Oh, cool. Number 109?
Yep.
Cool. So, I mean, we've talked a little bit about Captain America, you know, the comics. But so what are our expectations for the movie coming up? I mean, obviously, we're going to try and talk about it after it comes out. I actually tried to get into a screening the other day and couldn't get in. Oh. Yeah, the line was too long.
What was your technique? Was it just to wait in a line? Was that your technique?
Yeah, that was it. I got that was it. I wasn't going to get, like, wrestled to the ground. I've got a kid. I'm not going to jail to break into the Winter Soldier. We got one of these emails, you know, where it's like exclusive screening. And I went and I stood online and, you know, I couldn't get in. So fuck them.
I do have some inside info.
No, don't spoil anything.
No. This doesn't spoil anything. Believe me. There's another guy at work. His buddy did some of the CG on the movie, and his friend said, "Listen, do not." He's going to the screening, right? But the guy at work's not going to the screening. He says, "Do me a favor. When you're done with the screening, send me either an exclamation point in an email." an unhappy face.
Yeah.
And the guy sent him several exclamation points.
Oh, wow.
And this is a guy that worked on the movie and did CG, and usually those guys are pretty jaded, you know?
Yeah.
So as far as an initial whatever, I don't know. I'm really hyped for this one, and I don't know. That was the only initial, you know. Did you guys hear anything else?
No, I've been hearing really good things, actually.
Yeah.
I've been trying to stay away from spoilers. Like, it seems like Marvel released, like, the first 10 minutes
what?
Of the movie, like, online or something.
That's too much.
And I stayed away from that. And I'm staying away from trailers, but it's so funny because at my job, you know, I'm walking down the hall, and they keep showing the trailers, like, on the TV screen. And I'm like, stop showing me! I don't want to see it! Like, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, you guys got to stop because I just don't want anything spoiled. But it's interesting because I've been reading the death of... the Captain America omnibus, right? Like I mentioned before. And at first, like, I was like, why is the Black Widow in the movie? And then there were some things in that showed, like, why the Black Widow is kind of connected to the Winter Soldier and all that other stuff. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to pop up in the movie. So I don't know. I hope that it's really good because I did like the first one, but I don't think it's like the best of the Marvel movies. And, you know, I think Captain America, like we said before, can be hard to grasp for some writers and stuff. But what do you guys think?
I'm very excited about it. I think this has got potential to be the best Marvel movie we've seen yet, including the Avengers. Just based on... they're basing it on the best writer, Brubaker. They're stealing a lot of really cool ideas from his run. And I did get to see one of the extended trailers right before the Thor movie. I guess it was like a 2-minute, 3-minute deal.
Oh, yeah.
So if the movie is half as good as the trailer, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be just off the charts. There are a lot of characters. I'm not sure how they're going to incorporate them into the like larger picture, but just from what I've seen, I can't wait. This is as excited as I've been since Thor.
Hey Corey, but you're the tough sell, kinda, because you're kind of the most critical of us all on the superhero movies, I think, or at least the current batch. Like I know that I could be pretty critical about movies, but Corey, what about you? Because I think the first Captain America you weren't so crazy about.
The first one, I loved the first half, and then thought it just sort of fell apart at the second half. Once we get past the origin, it just kind of, I wasn't too crazy. So, but I'm very excited actually about this one. I feel like I did hear that there were some reviews, like mainstream press reviews that say it's too serious. It takes itself too seriously. But I think that that's, to me, reads as it's not Iron Man funny, quippy kind of thing, which I don't mind because it's Captain America. He's not, it's not like he's Spider-Man or whatever. So, so I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I mean, it looks pretty cool. I mean, I have seen some trailers, I see, Falcon flying around and that looks pretty cool. And then Winter Soldier and stuff and, him just ripping a steering wheel out of a car, that always gets me every time I see that. I'm like, he just ripped a steering wheel out of the...
So. He's Captain America. He's the pinnacle of human achievement.
No, that's the Winter Soldier doing that.
Yeah. Oh, the Winter Soldier. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't remember the trailer. I've been trying to blank out the trailer. So cool. I mean, what about you, Ian? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I was watching, there were some fights on yesterday, and they... the Winter Soldier was a sponsor, and the sponsorship went so far as to the opening of the fighting show, they mixed with Captain America beating people up with the fighters beating themselves up.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, that is an interesting type of ad buy, and they were pumping the Winter Soldier April 4th. And I work in Hollywood, so of course there's that poster. The one thing I've been disappointed with is the posters. Of course, after seeing all the great artwork that I saw today on that link you sent, Christian, it's like, oh my God, look at, every sort of artist. Is it Steranko? What did he do?
Oh, God, yeah.
Just his stuff alone. I mean, put that on a billboard. I mean, they really made some interesting choices, like with Cap kind of looking constipated, and then just Winter Soldier standing in the background. And it's like, I know that our movie posters these days sometimes aren't the best, but it's like, I guess as a fanboy, you always want to see that artwork. I mean, anything by Kirby would see it for blocks. I mean, but otherwise I don't know. Heidi really loved the first movie because it was a period piece. Yeah. And what's great about that is there's no debate of whether I'm going to see this or not.
Sure. Sure.
I like the fact that Marvel has, I definitely think they've picked up a real big group of female fans, and that's making things really easy for me, going forward with it. If I could just get her to feel that way about like the Raid Part 2 and Godzilla, although Godzilla has Cranston in it. But, I think it's just going to be a fantastic movie. I don't know. The consistency of the graphics, like it just seems like, again, Marvel sharing everything. Everyone's in the know about what needs to happen, and it just seems like another quality Marvel flick. So I'm totally psyched, and can't wait.
Yeah, I'm trying to manage my expectations.
Yeah,
because I mean that first trailer, like when the first trailer came out, I was like, oh, this looks good. But I just remember being blown away by the Iron Man 3 trailer, like being like, wow, that's how you do a trailer, like all the explosions. And you saw like Tony Stark's house blowing up, and where you did get a little bit of like, it looks like something really bad is going to happen to the helicarrier. Like there was a part of me that's like, okay, this is really good, but there's nothing that's like blowing my mind right now. You know what I'm saying? And, but which could be good, because I hope that they're saving the really good stuff for the movie. You know what I'm saying? Just do, I don't want them to blow their wad on the trailer. But I have really good, I have high expectations, but I'm trying not to get too crazy. And like I said, I mean, Cap is, like, as far as the character, maybe not the comic, I think probably next to Spider-Man when I was a kid, he's probably, like, my favorite Marvel character. You know what I mean? I mean, again, like I said early on in the podcast, like, he's one of those characters that kind of stands for something, as opposed to, you know, my parents were killed, I'm sad, I'm lonely, you know what I mean? I'm bitter, you know, or I'm just an adventurer, you know what I mean? And, you know, we haven't really talked about any of his, like, ancillary characters, really, like, all the people that joined him, like the Falcon and, like, what was her name? Diamondback. And then you had D-Man. Does anyone remember D-Man?
D-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. He wore like a combination between like an old Wolverine costume and an old Daredevil.
Yeah.
Costume.
What was the hell was his powers?
He was one of those super wrestlers. And then,
D-Man.
Rick Jones, right? Rick Jones, and who was like the most annoying sidekick ever.
Oh,
it's just like, somebody needs a sidekick. Like, didn't Rick Jones become Bucky for
a while? And he became the Hulk later.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he hung out with the Hulk. And then
became the Hulk, Christian.
He became a Hulk. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
I always want to read the series Rick Jones Must Die.
Rick Jones, Rick Jones must die. Yeah. Oh God, I hated Rick Jones for a long time. I couldn't stand that guy. And then, what were some of the others? You had the Falcon. You had Nomad.
Yeah, Nomad was interesting. I almost, I think I collected a few issues of that, but I just couldn't understand at all. Well,
what was Nomad's deal? His deal was that it wasn't somebody trying to recreate the Super Soldier Serum.
I think he was the Bucky from the 50s, like from the 50s when there was that replacement Captain America.
That's right. And did he get frozen too or something?
No. He was the 50s Bucky. So like during the 1950s, you know, the real Captain America was in ice. So then there were these Captain America issues that had been released. So then they were like, Marvel being Marvel had to explain that. You can't just have those issues sitting there and people just losing sleep over it. So they had to say, well, there were the government hired these people to pretend to be Captain America. And so Nomad was the Bucky of the time. And I don't know if he was ever like in suspended animation or what his deal was, but
I remember what it was. And Don, back me up on this because you probably know the history. He was Bucky. And the guy that was Captain America went nutso because of the super soldier serum that they gave him, right? And then they had to freeze them, right? Because they wanted to find a cure for their insanity, but they didn't want to kill him. Am I right, Don?
Right. Have you read far enough into Drew Baker's run to figure out what happened to Nomad, his final fate?
Yes. Yes, sad. It's sad. It's one of those comics that got me choked up because I remember Nomad was around a lot in the 80s, right? And I remember, you know, Ian talked about the Marvel Universe Handbook. I remember that great Mike Zeck drawing that of Nomad in his purple costume with the yellow disc and like he had a little cape, right? And he became like Cap's partner for a while too. Yeah. And then he meets like a really bad fate. Like, what was it, Don? Was the super soldier serum like killing him or something? And he dies alone or something?
No. Well, for the Brubaker run, it was a fairly unceremonious kind of Quentin Tarantino trunk scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, so he was on the hit list. He was on the hit list to take care of Cap's allies to for the Winter Soldier's kind of his comeback.
Yeah, yeah. It was really sad. I remember being like, oh, they did that to Nomad. Oh, man. Because, like, in the 80s, especially when I was reading the Grunewald era, like, it seemed like, and especially when he became the captain, like, all his partners kind of, like, rallied around him, right? They were like, no, fuck that, Cap. You got to keep fighting the good fight. And, like, you know, Tony Stark made him a vibranium shield. And, you know, and D-Man, they were all like kind of like traveling the road, like kind of like Easy Rider or something where they were going across America, if I remember correctly. So and trying to track down the Serpent Society. you know, so interesting. We didn't even talk about the Red Skull, Johann Schmidt. Yeah, one of the best villains ever.
He is. And what is, are we taking bets here on a Redford face peel back or what? Because it's my, look, it's my, idea that if there's Red Skull in the movie, there has to be some face peel back, even though they did it in the first one, the rip the face off.
I don't think so, because if you haven't read The Winter Soldier, but...
No, I will soon.
It's a very interesting way that they meld the Red Skull
really?
Into the narrative.
Okay, don't tell me. Don't,
I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you. But I called Redford as the Red Skull. I think he's the Red Skull. We'll see. Or, you know, but there's another part of me that's like, maybe he's not. Maybe it's somebody else. Because for Redford to slip up in an interview like that, like he did like way back. But I called Redford as the Red Skull along, like before
that
interview.
What do you mean? He slipped up in an interview?
Oh, he slipped up. He said he was like the villain in the movie. And people were like, what? Mm-hmm. And he was like, and Marvel was like, oops, you know. But nobody like freaked out. So maybe that's just a little bit of misdirection. But I love you, Ian, because you're like, Redford equals Red Skull.
I just want to see I was talking to my buddy today about it. He's like, man, he's got the perfect face to peel off his skin and reveal the Red Skull.
No, man, I think that Redford's a clone of Captain America.
Oh,
I think
because
that was part of the 80s storyline that the Red Skull cloned Captain America and put his body into Captain America's body. So then the Red Skull was just like as equal a super soldier as Captain America was.
Yeah, that'd be the great topper. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll see. Hopefully we didn't fuck up the movie for anyone.
So
does anyone have any last thoughts on Captain America for a Captain America podcast or any other insights or runs or comics that they want to recommend?
Well, don't sleep on Falcon. Falcon is a fantastic character in Captain America, always kind of a relentless, my very favorite, I guess, I wouldn't want to say sidekick, but, you know, equal, helper, friend, you know, compatriot, compadre. But yeah, Falcon's awesome. I got my fingers crossed that he's portrayed well in the movie.
Yeah, I really, you know, I read an interview with the actor who plays the Falcon, and he was like, when he met with the directors, he's like, red spandex, right? Like, I get to wear the red outfit. And they were like, no. And he's like, and he was telling the interviewer, he's like, I'm really pushing for the outfit. He's like, I really want to wear that outfit in the
movie.
That's
awesome.
And yeah, it was totally awesome. But Don, you're totally right. Like, the Falcon, and I mean, they shared Captain America and the Falcon. They shared a book for like the longest time. It used to be called Captain America and the Falcon. And what was great about Captain America in those books, and I remember reading like reprints and stuff, was that that Cap always called him partners. He was never his sidekick. He was like, we're equal in this. We're a team. This is not like I'm better than you or you're better than me or whatever. Like, Marvel was really good about trying to be like, hey, he's not, you know, he's not subservient to the captain.
Yeah, so, Falcon's a badass. Yeah, don't sleep on the Falcon. He's a badass.
Well, I think a lot of people are like, you know, with the Falcon, they see him as like maybe Aquaman. Like, he talks to birds, you know. So, but in the, I got to say, in the Winter Soldier books that I'm reading right now, he is a badass. And when he does talk to the birds, it's kind of cool because he's like trying to talk to all the pigeons in Manhattan to track people down. And I was like, that's very useful, you know. So yeah, I think that the Falcon, it really, was he the first black American hero or was it Luke Cage? I think it might have been the Falcon.
It was like Falcon, yeah.
Because the Black Panther was the first black hero, but he wasn't an American. He was from Wakanda. So that's interesting. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I hope they do a good job with the Falcon too, because that's something that could really go silly really fast. You know what I mean?
From the previews I've seen, it looks pretty cool when he takes off with the wing contraption. It's like, okay, I think they sell it.
Yeah. They definitely sell it. So they just need to give him the costume.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, all right. So this has been our Captain America podcast. Hopefully we're going to be back in, 2 weeks to talk about the movie. Hopefully we can all join in. My name's Christian Horn. I'm here with Corey Blake, Don Lund and Ian Scheller, and this has been the Captain America Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Thanks for joining in. Bye.
You are nothing, but I am your leader. Yet the look in your eyes. You too hate all mankind. But an inspiration! You will be the greatest product of my genius!
After months of training, he handed me a box with a costume inside.
Wear this, and you will have power. Because when you are looked upon, you will bring fear to all who behold you. Perfect. Henceforth, you shall be known as the Red Skull, answerable only to me. You will be evil personified.